me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Be seated.
Okay, still no Daniel. So we should wait for closed session, but we could open to public comment in regards to any questions from the public on closed session. Pardon me? Non-public agenda items first, please. Sorry. Absolutely. We are. I will again. Yeah. Yes.
So I'll skip that one.
Okay. Anyone else? We have no phone. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Hi. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll be recessing into closed session for public employment executive director, number four, and number five, conference with labor negotiations, and number six, conference with real property negotiations. Do you have comments on those? I got your letter. Yeah, is your microphone on? I don't think it's on. I can hear you, but I don't hear you in the system.
Thank you. There. Even I hear me now. All right. My name's Julie Tacker, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. The item that I'm particularly interested in, of course, all of it, but I would like to comment on the conference with labor negotiators. As I mentioned at your meeting last month, the district did not, and forgive me, I call it a district. I think it's an authority. It's confusing to me. So, authority. The authority did not possess the resume of Mr. Cron after he was hired. So I wanted to remind you and ask you that when you wrap this all up, that you actually have that document in possession of the authority, because you do, you did, you will, you have been paying for it. And then I would ask that you give us a time certain to be back. Since you have three items, you could be in closed session for some time, and it would, no? You won't know?
No.
So.
How long it will take, I'm sorry.
Oh, interesting.
Why is that?
Well, because you could just say, we'll be back in 35 minutes. And then if you're not, we'll be back in 35 minutes and be sure to be here. But if you go an hour and 35 minutes, that is completely disrespectful to the public.
Mr. President, the board can accept public comment. It doesn't need to be a discussion. We've taken into that into consideration. Please go ahead with your comment.
Thank you for the dialogue.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else would like to comment on the closed session items? Okay, seeing none. We don't have a phone call in. Okay. No one on the phone. Okay, should we go into closed session?
Oh. Do we want to give our best estimate of how long we'll be?
Best estimate?
I mean, no guarantees one way or the other, but best estimate so the public has an idea of how long we'll be in closed session for the three items.
Certainly. So, how about this, Mr. President? If it's okay, we'll go ahead and check in with folks who are waiting outside in about 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
And we can
Give
go from there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll check in 15 minutes and let you know if it's going to go longer. Certainly. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. The board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to agenda items 4, 5, and 6.
We good? Okay, I'd like to adjourn back into open session at 2:12. Reportable actions, Daniel?
Thank you, Mr. President. There is no reportable action coming out of closed session.
Oh, the echoes from your computer. Okay. It's okay. Speaker's up. Okay, so we're going to the presentation from the executive director, Peter.
Interim.
You could play with it. I'll try to not offend anybody with feedback.
Okay.
So the JACE compliance review. So as you all know, that we're under interacting with Cal Recycle's JACE division, the enforcement division for SB 1383. You know, once every 4 years, they're supposed to come down and do this as a matter of course in compliance with SB 1383. The seven cities have already been contacted. The county and the 12 special districts will be next. So right now we are in the process where we've taken the initial feedback, we've introduced them to our implementation record, and currently, you know, they're just reviewing our records and trying to see where we're at and what we've got going on. You know, we've been preparing for this for the last 4 years. I feel super confident that we're going to do fine. If anything comes up, we will just adjust. You know, it's real simple. It's like with Cal Recycle, you try to work with them. They're used to people trying to avoid them. And we don't. We typically don't avoid. We typically have a tendency to try and help out as best possible. The other thing is so the city of Morro Bay at their wastewater treatment plant, they're required to remediate that site. As you may remember, back when the floods hit, we had to do a significant remediation at our HHW site to get it reopened. That site's going to close. And so currently right now it's December 31st, 2025. There's some flexibility in that date, but you know, we've known this is coming. We're trying to find a location. We want to work with the county to try and find a location where their public works department can actually have some access. So when they pick up things off the street, they have a place to take it. And then that way we can actually work collaboratively and try to manage some of the illegally dumped hazardous waste in small volumes. And those are the things that we're trying to do. I'm going to try and work a lot, obviously, during this transition period to try and facilitate some of these things so they move forward a little quicker. We've got, you know, we're working with the engineers right now on getting the site plans done for San Miguel CSD for their HHW site at the Machado wastewater treatment plant. And we have to move the site at Heritage Ranch because they're doing an expansion, a required expansion on their water treatment site. So both those things are underway. They're in process. I'll be able to transition those over as I move on. But they're pretty much package deals are moving through. That's pretty much what I've got. And if you have any questions, more than happy to answer them.
Any questions? Robert, yeah. Peter, where's the closest one? If for some reason Morro Bay doesn't come back up, what's the next closest location?
Well, typically for the coastal communities, it would be probably Chicago Grade. Because Chicago Grade, you just shoot over 41 and you're there, or Paso Robles landfill. So one of the thoughts is, when we're looking at it, we initially looked at the Cayucas wastewater treatment plant because they just opened that, but unfortunately that ingress and egress, that left turn over Highway 1 is a little bit treacherous. I don't want to expose people to that. So that's why we're working with the county. The Los Osos CSD has, the county has a wastewater treatment plant at Los Osos where they have some property that may be usable for this. So we're going to, you know, it's still in the discovery phase. Sure.
No, okay. Can I back up 1 second? I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. Did someone want to make public comment after the fact of our closed session?
That's not required, Mr.
It's
President.
Not required.
Yes, no. And so
I think I said
public
I,
comment has already been accepted for the closed session.
But I do believe I said she could make a public comment.
Oh, certainly.
After.
Yes.
Good afternoon again, Julie Tacker. And just for clarification, this is really public comment for items not on the agenda that you wanted to take before closed session.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to do that now.
Yes.
After the consent agenda.
That's public comment, period.
For each item on the
agenda.
After that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little screwy on your agenda.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much.
Not good as for public on the agenda.
I really appreciate it. I really mainly only have some questions at this time. I was waiting for Mr. Cron's report to include an update on the accessibility of 555 Choro for those of my friends who are disabled. And I wondered, what I did not see on this agenda is your 23-24 audit, and expect that we could get a date on when we're going to see that. And those were just my short comments. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Any public comment on the consent agenda items? I'll go over those real quick before I take comments. The executive committee meeting minutes, review and file. We have the board meeting minutes, review, the monthly financial report, and the amendment to the Mr. Turtle Technical Assistant Grant Agreement. Do I have any public comment on any of those items? Nope, seeing none.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I could be one of those handicapped people looking for assistance. Good afternoon. My name's April. I work in the finance industry. So I just real quick about the financials that you were presented in this portion. The page 21, this report that you were given that says expense report, accrual basis, this is basically a glorified check register. I don't understand how this would be in any way considered an expense in terms of these are the categories, total, category, total, if you have subcategories under them, and then a total category, total, which is the normal way this is presented to anyone looking at a financial statement. This is truly just a glorified check register in general ledger order. So I don't know how you could parse any helpful information from this, especially if you were to compare it to the prior month's report. They're not the same. They don't look the same. They're not helpful. And I believe this is the first time it looks like this. I will bring this up later when it comes up. But again, pertaining to this, I believe the person, the agency, the business that created this isn't even here to answer questions if you potentially had any. And I would hope that you would for the upcoming item. So I would like to bring that to your attention to ask potentially for the person or business that you pay to create this for you to be here to answer these questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again, Julie Tacker. And on page 20, the interest revenue of $68,942.77 is alarming. I want to put my money in this bank account because previous packets, you have 44 cents, 37 cents. So I'd like an explanation for that. The actual printout is in GL order, where all the previous ones that I've looked at are in chronological order by date. So it's a little confusing to try to figure out when monies were spent, but there are an alarming amount of late payments, things that were paid for in services in December, in February, January, and then subsequently there are late fees. So that I haven't seen before. And so I would ask that your board get an explanation, because nobody wants to pay a late fee. What I mentioned at your meeting last month, and it's still not here, it's not back, is the separation of the credit cards. In 2021, the San Luis Obispo County District Attorney's Office took this agency to task over credit cards. this is not something you want to be. This is what the most important thing you want to have transparency on. And if you're new to the board, go to the DA's website and look up the report, and it gives you the district rep, the agency authority, recommendations on how to be transparent with your credit cards. And so that's what I'm looking for, and it's not there again. So I'd like an explanation, and I would think you would like the same explanation.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else in the public? I can bring it back to the council.
Yeah, I wanted to just, or I don't know if poll, but at least ask a question regarding item 9, the board minutes from May 14th. That was our last regular meeting. And in that meeting, there was substantial amount of public comment. And normally, at least in our city council agendas, if when there's public comment, it indicates who spoke on a given item. So like, you know, John Smith spoke on this and Betty Jones spoke on that item. And I don't see any reference to people speaking on items. And I'm wondering if that was, I thought we did that in our minutes. And if not, I want to make sure we, you know, I assume we want to do such a thing. So.
Yeah, we do want to do that. And
just
just for the record. And yeah. I think it was, it was, unfortunately, omitted because it was one of the things that we just don't get a lot of prior to this. So it's relatively new for us to have that level of public comment, and we've got that.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And then reference the it was mentioned here regarding credit card, but I think I asked it last time. You know, after we went through what I'll call the scandal period, you know, we were highly sensitive, and we did in our reports have, you know, every credit card charge. And one of the reasons we have these, you know, this detailed listing of expenses, not in account format, but in terms of individual expense format, was so that the board, you know, did indeed say, okay, I want to, we spent this on this. We kind of saw every expense, but that we used to have like the credit card.
Right. And you'll have it again. I had a conversation with our accountant, and she's going to go back to that formatting. Yeah. One of the things she was trying to streamline some of the pieces, she wasn't exposed to that. And so this change was not,
right. I mean, it's not something we do, for example, at our city.
No,
we ask for it.
But we certainly need to do it.
But because of our past, we have done it here. So thank you.
Transparent.
Thanks.
Not a problem.
Jim?
Yeah. Sure. So on item 4, the technical assistance grant for Mr. Turtle.
Item 11?
I'm sorry.
Item 11.
I have my cheaters for that. My sunglasses.
It's
the fourth one on the list. So my question is, I understand there was something in the contract because they do want to sell these items. Is that a policy thing that was built into the contract? So do we have a policy against a technical assistance grant to somebody who might sell things? And is that why it's in there?
We've never had, so going back to Mr. Turtle's a unique environment where they're actually using this to sell a product. Typically, technical assistance grants have always gone, and we've tailored it originally to jurisdictions that are purchasing equipment and putting it in. So what we didn't want is we didn't want someone selling something after we, you know, without our purview. With the Mr. Turtle grant, it's a unique scenario where they're actually building these for sale. And for this distribution. So I think it's a unique feature to what we took on with Mr. Turtle outside of what we take on when we do something like a refill station or containers or something of that nature. We don't want someone to purchase items using our grant funds to turn around and sell them from a jurisdictional level without us having control. For example, if we did something with Food Bank, we wouldn't want them to purchase equipment that they're going to use for food recovery and then sell that equipment later on. We want to control that through the use of that item. So with Mr. Turtle, he has to sell it for his business model. Does that make sense?
Okay, so is that, again, is that in a policy somewhere that says, or is this just
It was, no, it was an original agreement that we started, where the original tag agreements were focused on items such as containers, such as equipment that people would use for a specific task that we would want to control that item. Whereas we don't need to necessarily control what Mr. Turtle's going to do with his suspensors.
Director Guthrie, I think to try to answer your question, there is no policy or law applicable to the TAG program that prohibits the grant recipient from selling their product.
But I'm also we've got a sort of general issue with the technical assistance grant program that we've got another one today that will come up. And so I'm asking about whether we have a formal policy about how we do this, or whether we just keep doing these one-off, which is the way it feels.
We don't have a specific policy. But you and I have discussed about the concept of putting together something more specific with policies towards TAG grants.
So this made me think there was a policy since it was in the contract.
No, so to save the agency resources, typically with these TAG contracts, there's a template that we use. So we plug in the grant recipient, the amount, and tailor some of the dates. So this is really a to update the contract to match what their proposal was. I understand, Director Guthrie, there have been conversations about whether there need to be more detailed policies in place. And as far as I know, there is nothing in place regarding what you've raised.
Okay, so I'll relate it to another one when we did the technical assistance grant for the group that was trying to put together a radar for lithium batteries, for lack of a better description. Now, I understand that didn't work out because they weren't successful. Is it, since they didn't produce something, does Mr. Turtle have a similar deal? Are they going to get paid after they produce? I guess what I'm really asking, are they going to get paid after they produce something and actually start selling it?
Or yeah, there is a reimbursement grant. They actually have to make it and sell it to get reimbursed, but or make it, produce it, and have the expenses to sell the item. Okay. But the original grant from Estera was for research and development, and not for the production of their product, but just for the research and development for their product.
And since their research failed, we didn't pay them.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to go back to the monthly financial reports. The last item on that, it says U.S. bank credit card, bank service charges, credit card fee in the amount of $57.23. I know it's a small amount, but is that like an annual fee for the credit card?
Yeah, I believe that's the annual fee for the credit card.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Concerns?
No? Have you asked for public comment?
I did. Yes, we've.
So, if there, when the moment is right, I'd like to move approval of the consent agenda.
Okay. I have a motion. Can I get a second? Do you have a motion?
Hammond second.
Hammond seconds. Director Hammond.
Roll call, please.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Aye.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
Can I be a yes on 8, 9, 10, and a no on 11? Or do you need to do that separately?
Pull it. Let's pull it separately.
Yeah, let's pull 11. Separately. Thank you.
So, yeah, Mr. President, what we'll do is we'll amend the motion, Director Marks, if that's okay. So the motion will be to approve items 8, 9, and 10 on the consent agenda.
All right. I'm amenable to that amendment.
Thank you. And our second.
Okay. So the substitute motion seconded by President Robert?
No. Second, Mr. Hammond.
Director Hammond.
Ms. Marks?
Can we have this?
Oh. Good. Yes.
Since we're going to get a second bite at it, in looking at the financial report, it doesn't seem like the $57.73, if I'm remembering the number, could be a credit card fee. So I just wonder if you could get back to us at the next meeting on exactly what that is.
Sure, I can do that.
It would be an annual fee.
Yeah. Well, it's not an annual fee. It's a fee.
It's not the annual fee.
Right.
Okay, just so if you could get back to us on what that was for. Thank you.
Okay, roll call, please. Roll call.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Aye.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
And Mr. President, if there can be a second motion to approve item 11 on the agenda.
Item 11, can I get a motion?
But could we have discussion? I'd like to, you know, hear from Member Moreno, you know, the reason for pulling, because I know I have a little bit of concern about this issue myself, but I want to, you know, have her articulate the concern.
So this agenda came out Monday afternoon. So by the time I get a chance to look at it, I've gone through everything, and now we're talking about a private entity using taxpayer dollars to then, you know, I know based on the agreement, they can't sell outside of San Luis Obispo County, and we're trying to say, oh, there's some sort of a benefit. But until I know more about that, I'm not comfortable voting yes on that. That doesn't seem like a something I would support, but maybe I will with more information.
And I would like to add, I mean, you know, we did this, and so I feel this is acceptable, but I am very concerned that in the future, we do need to have a policy regarding private entities being recipients of grants in terms of what is the benefit to the IWMA mission, et cetera. So I do think going forward, I mean, if we were voting on this first time today, I would probably vote no, but we need to have a discuss more. Do we really want to provide grants to private entities to make and sell things, even though they're going to install them and it's going to be to the benefit of an IWMA mission. So I think it's a very valid question going forward for the future.
Well, and I think out of the budget ad hocs, I think if you could give us direction to bring back the TAG grant as a discussion item and or create something under that light on a policy change on that. So I think that's something we've had discussions on. I'm comfortable with obviously I'm going to bring it back in August. I don't think so, but I can have some insight into that and help and make that part of that move. So if you would like for me to do that, that's something that I'm more than willing to take that on.
Policy.
Yeah, revisit that policy.
I'll just add here that in the original discussion of this, while we didn't discuss the specifics of them selling an item, we did note exactly how this fit the IWMA mission. And while I have reservations about the grants in general, this does fit the general pattern of the grants, that there is a clear, I just don't want to make it seem like we just did this offhand. There is a clear tie-in with the mission of the IWMA, and it would reduce containers. And, you know, I'll just say whether it was a private entity or a public entity, they're really very similar. When we do these TAG grants for water bottle refilling, we get this weird little number.
I can share your concern.
I didn't know. I just don't want to seem like we just
I don't feel like I need like a full dissertation on it today, but yeah, I think bringing this back as a policy would be smart.
I think the whole policy needs to come back.
I think we've discussed that, and I think I can agree with that, and so that's something we can bring back at an August meeting.
If I may ask, how do we properly bring this back for discussion as an item? Because normally you do that as future agenda. So I just
I think later on you're going to give me a future agenda item that's going to say bring back the TAG grant
so
at the end of the
direction to staff. Yeah, to work on this, and we'll bring it back later.
Would one of those options be eliminating the program?
Absolutely. If you believe that's, you know, that's a viable option,
I have a problem with this application because we had the program in place.
Right.
But going forward,
no, I understand.
It's a real dilemma because there's not enough funds for every agency here, and becomes who's first to apply to get the money, and makes it very, I don't know, unfair. So
I think that was part of our discussions during the ad hoc on how to bring it back and what it should look like. So certainly we can do something in that nature.
Okay. So we're going to bring back item 11. Direction. Okay.
You're going to approve item 11, but you're going to bring back the TAG grant.
All right. Can I get a motion, please?
I think you had a motion.
We had a motion. We have a second. So any roll call, please.
Can you please repeat who motioned and second?
So we'll just consider this to be a split motion of the original to move the consent agenda. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good clarification.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
No, ma'am.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Okay. Takes care of the consent agenda. Moving on
to the regular agenda. Can I get any public comment for regular agenda?
Julie Tacker again, requesting that you take public comment on each item after staff's presentation and like normal meetings. Can I get a yes on that?
Mr. President, that's up to you. The agency has it listed as a single public comment period, but you may choose to allow public comment for each separate item.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. I'll be back.
Okay. Item number 12, video content production and distribution.
So item number 12 is video content production and distribution. So this is the recommendation of your board president to sign KSBY proposal and for distribution using the SB 1383 local assistance grant. Your board will remember that we approved Out West Digital to do some production pieces. Today we're going to share these production pieces with you. And then we're going to talk about how those production pieces fit into the SB 1383 local assistance grant distribution. SB 1383 local assistance grant granted us about $1.4 million to educate the public on the need and requirements of SB 1383 and the diversion of organic waste materials. This grant is a two-year grant cycle. We're about halfway through this grant cycle, and now we've produced these materials. Now it's time to talk about how we're going to distribute them, where we're going to get them out there, and how we're going to impact our public and give them the outreach. These are budgeted under this grant fund, so these are funds that are one-time use. We use them now or we lose them next April. And so now we're going to take a look at these videos, and if the sound works, you're going to see them. Smells incredible. Why does it not work this time? It worked last time. No sound. No, I can't see. I can't find it. Hang on. I'll get there. I'll try again.
Wrong answer.
Mm-hmm. Relax. It's just food. It'll break itself down.
Wrong answer. Mm-hmm. Let me show you what really happens. Tossing food waste into the trash.
Okay, we'll start this over.
Chef at work crafting his masterpiece. But hold on, do you know where that's headed?
Relax, it's just food, it'll break itself down.
Wrong answer. Mm-hmm. Let me show you what really happens. Tossing food waste into the trash means sending it to the landfill where it decomposes without air. Well, that releases methane, a greenhouse gas 80 times more potent than CO2.
Oh man, that does not sound good.
However, when you put food scraps into the green bin, that food waste transforms into nutrient-rich compost, which helps local farmers cultivate fresh produce. Just ask Thomas.
Hi, my name is Tom Gratz. I'm the sales manager for Cannadivia Innova. We're here at an anaerobic digestion facility that takes organic waste from residential sources and also some commercial sources and industrial streams to make renewable energy in the form of biogas and a soil amendment for agriculture.
And guess what, Chef? Some of that produce might just end up
right back in my kitchen.
That's the power of composting, turning food scraps into fresh local flavors, from farm to table to farm and back again. Small actions towards a greener future for Slo County, one plate at a time.
Today, we're putting Slo County locals to the test with a pop quiz on what goes into the green bin. Let's see how they do.
I believe the green bin is for plants, food,
dirty paper, and dirty pizza boxes, all my food.
It's anything that comes from plants and animals. Food waste, kitchen cuttings, yard waste, leaves, and things of that nature.
We don't put any food waste in the green bin.
Can meat and bones go into the green bin? Absolutely. It can be raw meat or cooked meat, and it will break down.
I did not know that. That makes my life easier.
Compostable plastics cannot go in the green bin.
Please do not put compostable plastics into the green bin. They will not break down. You can bag your food waste in brown paper bags, and you can also put food soiled napkins into the green bin.
I don't know exactly how it works, but they turn it into fuel.
We create biogas, and that biogas is used as a fuel in an engine that turns a generator, and that generator produces electricity. We take the compost and put it back to local farm fields to grow produce in San Luis Obispo County. And with that, we complete the circular economy picture.
The more you know, people.
Thank you to every Slo resident for putting your food waste in the green bin. Your commitment has been outstanding. To stay connected and learn more about how you can make a difference today, please visit our website below.
Wait, Grandma, that doesn't go there.
It doesn't matter. It's just going to end up in the landfill anyway.
No, Grandma, it doesn't end up there.
Well, where does it go?
Let me show you.
When we recycle, our materials continue their journey. For example, aluminum cans are sorted, baled, and sent to a plant where they are melted down and made into new aluminum products. But when we throw things away, they don't just disappear. They end up in landfills like this one, where it remains for hundreds of years. This landfill in Slo County used to be a canyon in 1976, but now it's a towering hill of trash. By recycling, we preserve materials for future generations to use. Aluminum, paper, glass, and hard plastics can all be recycled in Slo County, ensuring that these materials don't wind up at the landfill.
My name is Zach Zimmerman. I'm the Municipal Outreach Coordinator for Waste Connections here in San Luis Obispo. And today we are at the Cold Canyon Landfill visiting our Materials Recovery Facility, or MRF. Once material comes out of our Materials Recovery Facility, it ends up in bales like this. We have our plastic behind me to the left, our aluminum cans right behind me, and then to this side, our mixed paper, better known as junk mail. Please do not bag any of your recyclables. They can create quite a hazard for our recycling team.
Pretty cool, right?
Who knew these cans have such a long life? It's like magic.
Today, we're putting Slo County locals to the test with a pop quiz on what goes into the blue bin.
The blue bin, that's clean paper and
cans and glass,
cardboard, paper,
plastic bottles.
Sometimes those items are mixed with items that we don't want. And a lot of the don't wants are things like long stringy plastics, obviously trash and food waste and your recyclables. That's not what we want.
Please do not bag your recyclables, as they can jam up our sorting facility and make sure that all plastic bags find their way to the trash can.
You just go to the sink and clean it out?
Wash it out with water, and then I'll put it in the blue bin for recycling.
Recyclables are best when they are clean and dry, especially food containers. Nothing gets cleaned here at the Materials Recovery Facility.
We don't just throw them away.
They don't go in the trash.
Any household hazardous waste facility here in Slo County, or any retailer that sells batteries can take them for you as well.
I know that we produce a lot of waste, which I'm very guilty of too.
So keep our environment cleaner.
Otherwise it goes into the trash, and especially here because we have the ocean, the tiny plastic ends up in a lot of birds' stomachs.
Thank you to every SLO County resident who participated in the recycling challenge. Your commitment has been outstanding. To stay connected and learn more about how you can make a difference today, please visit our website below.
Thank you for that.
Okay, now I'm going to turn it over to Ashley, and she's going to continue with this.
Hello, can you hear me? Hi, good afternoon. So yes, those were the videos. There are 4 90-second long videos that were produced by the production company that was selected as a result of the RFP. That production company is Out West Digital. They also produced a ton of other spots for us in various different lengths that will be paired in tandem with those longer videos to complete our entire outreach campaign. I just wanted to give some brief background on the outreach campaign itself and kind of the what kind of spurred this all as coming on as a project. And then we have Shira with KSBY, who's here to present a proposal for broadcasting the videos. So these were some of the results from the summer 2024 survey. I realized in the staff page I even understated these because I said what percent of items go into the gray bin. There are some people that were just confused on these items entirely. So these were the real percentages. 62% of residents do not put meat and bones in the green bin. 50% of them don't put leftover food in the green bin. And 39% of them do not put vegetable peels in the green bin. So there is a clear lack of participation in the green bin programs, which is mandatory under California state law SB 1383. The most common reason that they cited for not putting these items in the green bin was just a lack of understanding. And anecdotally, we get a ton of calls to our office of, oh, I heard from my neighbor that this is something I'm supposed to be doing, or I heard this when I went and I visited my friend in another county in California. I truly just didn't know about this, and this law has been in effect for 3 years now, and I think clearly the survey results show that there's still a lot of confusion about these programs among our residents. So this is an overview of the funding source for this project. It's the SB 133 Local Assistance Grant. It's a two-year grant cycle that ends in April of next year. So that green highlighted bit is the line item that this proposed project would be funded through. It's the advertisements line item. So that also includes social media marketing, television and radio, and the video production itself. That was the amount allocated for that entire line item. So this is kind of a very rough distribution plan for the video series. The ones in blue are new outreach opportunities that are channels that we haven't yet taken advantage of, at least not recently. The IWMA website and our YouTube channel are great sources for outreach. We have a very active presence on Facebook and Instagram. We got a lot of positive feedback from that. There's an opportunity for boosted posts on those as well, so we can pay to have our posts seen by a lot more eyes. And we would propose that that also be included in an outreach campaign in the future to promote this series. We're excited to share these videos with our member jurisdictions on their websites, their social medias. Some city halls have like monitors and stuff where they can educate the public. So we would share these out at the LTF to get them as spread as many eyes as possible. But those two top ones are kind of the ones that are under discussion today with KSBY, the local broadcast channel, to do a commercial segment and a streaming segment of them. This is just a brief chart of what reach we estimate. If we boost some social media posts, we could get a lot of bang for our buck in terms of how many people see those, and then we'll be able to track attribution through those. Same with the website and KSBY and stuff like that. This is kind of just a brief chart, just for your reference, of how much these things might cost. We are also in the process of looking into a social media intern to help really boost our social media presence and kind of get into some trends and make sure that we are fully maximizing that, because that is where a lot of people today get their information from. And that would be able to help us get some paid social media advertising as well and really get these videos in front of as many people as possible. We've already paid for the videos. This has already been produced. And so now we have this product. So the question now is, how do we make sure that we get it in front of as many eyes as possible to really maximize our impact, make sure that we're filling that gap between who is and is not participating in the green bin and who is or is not confused about recycling. I know even I still get confused about what goes in my blue bin sometimes. I'm sure many of you do as well. And that is something that our residents are constantly talking to us about, is I'm just confused about what goes in my bins. So that's kind of the goal of this whole entire series, and this advertisements line item from the local assistance grant does provide us with a lot of funding in order to achieve those goals. So we're excited about this potential because the combination of broadcast TV and social media will enable us to reach a couple of different demographic segments and some that we haven't really communicated to in the past. A lot of people are already familiar with our website, which is a great resource, but there's so many people that aren't and who are unfamiliar with us as an agency as a whole. So by utilizing these channels and paying to get in front of eyes in our county that haven't seen us yet, we're really going to be able to reach some people who may not even be aware that we exist. I think there's one more. And we'll be able to track the campaign the entire way. She was going to talk about more about the attribution data through KSPY and how that's going to work. In the future, if we utilize social media advertising as well, we'll be able to track metrics through that. And then ultimately, ideally, through our route reviews that we conduct as part of SB 1383, we'll be able to get approximate data on how much landfill diversion we are actually achieving and how much contamination in bins we're reducing. So now I'm excited to turn over to Shira, who's going to present a proposal from KSPY.
Thank you for having me. I'm Shira Stiles. I'm an account executive with KSPY, and this is Lisa Moore, our general manager.
Hello. Let me first apologize for bagging my recyclables. I will change that today.
You learn a lot. You learn a lot. We're excited to, okay.
Yeah, just let me know.
Okay, I will. All right. So I guess you can go into the next slide, really. Yeah. So today we're going to go over four campaign objectives that we put together for you. The first is going to be maximizing community outreach. The second, prioritizing your key audiences, maybe zip codes that are having a little bit more trouble than others. Driving digital engagement, driving people to your website to find out more information, and tracking and optimizing the performance. We'll go a little bit into the weeds, but afterwards we can take some questions to kind of go over how we're going to do that. But we really want to make sure that every dollar we receive is working for you by tracking and optimizing that ROI. Okay. This is a little much, but I'm just going to summarize it. So when we met with your team a few months ago, we went over what you guys are currently doing and how KSPY can really come in and help emphasize what you already are doing. You guys are doing a great job with school outreach, your website, social media. So what can KSPY do? The reality is that people who need to know this information are not following you on social media. So we want to enhance that by creating general awareness. They're not following the inserts, maybe. So let's, widespread, let them know throughout the county. And we can really get that to them with digital and media, or digital and TV advertising. So there's a huge opportunity for widespread knowledge throughout the county. Okay. So first we're going to go into the broadcast strategy, which you all are pretty aware of because we are KSBY. Broadcast still remains one of the most powerful and influential tools to get, knowledge out to the masses. So you have these beautifully produced videos. Let's show them. Next slide. Okay, so this is KSPY's coverage area. As you can see, we cover about 200 miles of coastline, but we also are in the homes of over 150,000 households on the Central Coast. So this is going to help us get into pretty much every major adult demographic, from young people like renters to even longtime homeowners, 55 plus, everyone really needs to know how to recycle. So even regardless of, you know, who they are or where they live. So we're going to help get that message across. This is just a heat map of KCUI versus KUIT. The reason I show this is because this just shows how massive our presence is and how much of an audience is geared more towards KSBY, getting those rural areas and also getting more urban areas and urban cities. So our footprint is really all across the Central Coast and, you know.
Yeah. I think this also just kind of represents, you know, we know you have a choice. We know that funds aren't infinite, so you have to make the, you know, the smartest, most efficient choice. And this this graph really just represents the density of KSBY viewers here in SLO County.
All right. So this is our programming strategy for getting the videos out to the public. So we want to make sure that we are using a mix of those 90-second long form commercials, as well as making sure that people have enough frequency. And so we want to recommend also putting 30 seconds in there. This way people are not fatigued too much by a minute 30, and we can engage them and still get that efficient message across and frequency. So we want to make sure that you are with trusted sources like our news in the morning at 6 a.m. followed by nationally syndicated programs like the Today Show, and then reinforcing the messages once again in the 4 p.m. and obviously 6 p.m. news, where we have a large audience. And as you can see, this is the monthly number of commercials that would be airing every month in those time periods, followed by the monthly impressions, as well as the total of impressions for a six-month campaign. Next, we are going to go into streaming content. So we covered the broadcast TV portion of it, and we're going to go into streaming. So the great thing about this campaign is that you are going to have the heavy lifting with KCY to the masses, but also with our research that we've found that streaming is also a huge part of today's viewership as well. So we're going to put you in premium content like Hulu, Max, Disney Plus, and make sure that you are covering both bases of households, just really getting that information into the community. So KCY, when we have we're part of Scripps Company. And so with that comes the heavy lifting of having a corporate large company behind us. And so we're able to have these great partnerships that allow us to put commercials in high viewing areas. So we always want to mimic a big screen focus. So we put your ads majority on a big screen where people are more engaged. We also, these commercials are non-skippable. So they have to be watched to completion to get to the next show. So people are going to be engaged on the big screen with your commercial and content, not being able to skip through it. And then the most important part that I think is for this is the attribution piece. So I can sit here and tell you everything, but it's great that we can actually see a viewer view your commercial and then take action. We're going to go a little bit into the weeds of how that works. So in its simplest form, a person is served your ad or your content, and then they maybe go to the website to find out more about how to recycle or more content information about what, you know, they should be doing. Because I will tell you, after meeting with your team, I made some changes as well. I was pretty blown away. And also view the website to see what else am I doing wrong, sadly.
And we have to be reminded multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, I can see this and I will leave and I will remember not to bag my recyclables, but I will forget what goes in my green waste. So you have to have that frequency. And as our audiences change, you know, the reality is, major gasp, less people are watching broadcast TV than before because so many people have picked up on the streaming side. So we really go about every campaign saying, how do we get this great video content where you are? And sometimes that's through our own streaming content because people are watching, you know, our news product on, you know, mobile apps or their own big screen via streaming.
But this this product, and by way of Scripps, allows us to just catch people in the desired zip codes that you have, no matter what they're watching, right? We say, this is the person that we want to target. I don't care what you're watching. You could be watching reruns of something from 20 years ago. That doesn't matter. I just know that I can get my message to you. And it allows us to take that reach and just continue to extend it.
Yes, perfectly said. This is real reporting that you guys will have access to when we launch the campaign. So this is real live reporting. It shows through the attribution how many unique visitors visited the website and took action after being exposed to the ad. Then it will show you how many times they visited the website. Did they look at multiple pages? Were they engaged enough? So we go over the conversions through the streaming campaign. And this is just to show where the data is coming from. We partner with trusted resources like Experian to help us track information and also kind of reach a little bit deeper and for targeting. So target audience for this campaign, obviously the entirety of San Luis Obispo County. We can enhance this campaign, like I said, to target specific zip codes. If there's certain zip codes that need more help than others, you're seeing a more contamination rate in certain zip codes, we can definitely move more impressions towards that area. Maybe they need to be told a little bit more. So what we found when we pulled this data is that there's about 781,000 impressions in San Luis Obispo County of people who are viewing on streaming. And we like to get about 20% of those. So this is 156,250 commercials every month that would be airing in San Luis Obispo County. And with our streaming services, we don't nickel and dime, is what I like to say. We don't nickel and dime. We are full service, so we're not going to sit there and go, oh, well, if you want access to attribution, you're going to have to pay a little bit more down the road. Oh, you want access to the dashboard? That's an extra fee. No. Everything is included from the 156,000 in commercials that air every month to the attribution piece, showing you that your dollars are working for you, the targeting, and being able to change that monthly. So we like to meet with you guys monthly and go over the metrics every month and making those optimizations, making sure that if there's certain changes in certain areas, we can change that in real time. And then obviously with the partner, we included a partnership discount with this campaign as well.
I just want to just really quickly touch on how we get that data. So how that works is we place a pixel on your website. It is tied to the audio of the commercial. So we submit the commercial. There is an audio marker in there. So that is how we kind of pull that data. So we use, if you've never looked, it's fascinating to look at your agreement for your Wi-Fi. You pretty much sign a lot of things away with that. So again, a person in the household with that pixel, we're able to capture the fact that it was delivered in this household, and then you are now going to your website within a 30-day look back window. So that's what allows us a lot of that access. There's additional access that Shear is going to cover that's on the broadcast side. For many, many years, we've never been able to say, this is how we can prove, you know, people are seeing your commercial, unless someone comes in and said, hey, I saw you on TV or this or that. There is technology now that allows us that same technology with the watermarking that recognizes a commercial being played in a household. However, that data is far, far different. You have to, so if your commercial plays in someone's household on broadcast, they have to go to your website within a 5-minute window to then track that data. So It's a far less, it's a smaller sample size because most of us, even though we have a device in our hand when we're watching TV, we're usually multitasking something different. But if they do go, but again, it's just another level that we've never been able to do. So it's not the end all be all. It doesn't represent everything because obviously a 5-minute window is a very, very small amount of time. However, on the streaming side, you have a 30-day look back window. And this represents where we're able to then pull data and attribution that shows these are the number of people that were served just your streaming ad. These were the number of people that saw just your broadcast and how many times they went to your website. And then here's that overlap. And what you see is a massive increase in engagement for people who have seen your commercial via broadcast and streaming as well. Again, we're bombarded with so many messages every day. People have to have a high frequency with a message before they take action.
So we are going to go over the campaign summary of everything we are recommending for IWMA. That's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. Okay. But I did have to fit everything. Maybe this is good because it's a lot of stuff that is happening with the campaign. So this is going to go over the commercials that you're going to be getting monthly and for the total impressions for the duration of the campaign. So this is, we started this campaign in September through February. So every morning you are going to be in the 6 a.m. news. And then you're also going to be running those 30-second commercials. You're also going to be getting the message across in those long form as well. You're going to be in the Today Show. We have you in the 4 p.m. news.
Sorry, 6 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I see that. I was wondering how many it was.
So it's monthly commercials. So if you're looking at 6 a.m. news, you're going to see 9 times a month for your 30-second version. And 4 times your 90-second version. So typically when we're doing this, we'll go every other month or every other week so that in each given week, you have at least 3 commercials running in a week. So then today's show, it looks like there's 8 times for your 30-second commercials. So if we did it on a week, off a week, you'd be at 4 times a week. And then 8 times your 30-second message in the 4 o'clock, 8 times your 30-second message in the 6 o'clock, an additional 4 times with your 90-second, and then 12 times your 30-second on the 10 p.m. news on our sister station, Laugh, and 4 times your 90-second on in the 10 p.m. there as well. And then Shear has added additional added value weight or bonus weight at 35 times a month for your 30-second commercials, and an additional 8 times for your 90-second commercials.
Yeah, in the 4 p.m. news.
Oh, that one's in the 4. Okay.
Yes. So, oh, that's okay. So we're delivering through the total of this campaign about 4.2 million impressions with a CPM of $17.11. So if you weigh streaming and broadcast, we're able to get a very competitive, very reasonable CPM to reach the San Luis Obispo County. Okay, now you can go to the next. And I just love this quote. I don't always put quotes in all of my presentations. However, I felt like this one really rang true because it really speaks to the heart of the campaign. We're telling a story, we're helping people understand, and we're giving them the tools and knowledge to act. So we cannot protect what we do not understand. We will not act if we do not care, and we do not care if we have never been told. So thank you. Yes, any questions?
Yeah, I had a question. Jan Marks from City of San Luis Obispo. Yeah, with the duration of the proposal, September through February, is it from the beginning of September to the end of February?
Yes.
So it's like, what, 7 months of approximately? 6 months?
6 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a 6-month. So what we're talking about is the $68,850 for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other question that I had was in terms of Cal Poly, and this is maybe also a broader question for staff. A lot of the Cal Poly students, I'd say more than half, live in the city of San Luis Obispo, and a lot of Cuesta College students also. Mm-hmm. So are you doing any outreach to the university or to Cuesta in terms of this, or is it just what the students might happen to pick up with the streaming or the TV?
It would be streaming. So all of our reporting on the broadcast side excludes the transient population, which would be the Cal Poly population. So our all of our viewer information is outside of that. Streaming would pick up, you know, that. Again, I think though some of the we can add targeting this as homeowners or renters. So we can add levels of targeting if that's a concern, and we want to kind of eliminate a certain group as well.
Yeah, we can even do like adults, you know, 30 plus or 25 plus. So we're eliminating.
No, we need it to be like 20 plus for these guys.
Right. So if you're trying to add them, we go one way. If you're trying to eliminate them, we go.
We can get very granular.
Yeah.
They come from all over the state. They come from all over the country and sometimes from different other countries. Mm-hmm. And when they come here, recycling is like way far away from their mind. So I think there's a special need there. Thanks. That's all my questions.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Robert. I've been advertising with you for almost 40 years with our company, and it works. And so what I didn't see, though, was in the ads, something tailored more to the younger group. In other words, we need to start teaching them this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Plus all the older folks who've been in their ways forever, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm wondering, if you can, you know, what's our target or audience at a certain time of the day and, you know, on weekends and where the kids might be listening and looking. That would be important, I think, to kind of establish. We've also used 30-second bookends, one at the beginning of your commercial segment and one at the end.
Yes.
So the more impressions, the more, you know, they see it once and they remember it again, you know, a couple minutes later. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, in the beginning, when you start the campaign, frequency is important, and then we can start tapering off to the long term. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done in our company forever with you guys. So it helps, but I'm just curious, you know, if there's any other opportunity to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't see any 30-second commercials here, so.
You mean built, completed?
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple of things on that front. There are 30 seconds. There are multiple 30-second spots, and they are all cut from those 90-second spots. So they will be aired to reinforce those, and you guys maybe talk more about what that looks like. And then in regards to the younger segment of the population, I totally agree that that's somebody that we need to be reaching as well. So that's why we want to look to social media for that. As a Gen Z myself, that's where a lot of those younger folks are getting their information from. So that in tandem with the broadcast and streaming, I think will really be impactful.
When we were shooting our film, did we?
We have it in vertical.
We do.
So, and then we have it cut for 15-second spots that are intended for social media use too.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping we can do that. The other flip side of it is, you know, with KSBY's footprint, I think we ought to get a hold of Santa Barbara County and Integrated Waste Management and say, hey, you know, that'll help. But because it's true. Your footprint, that's why we used you originally was, you know, our footprint of our company was exactly kind of where you were landing too. And it helps.
Yeah.
So we have other agencies that are doing the same thing, and certainly, you know, they can help out. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I think this is for the director. How will we gauge the results of this campaign? Because there's an end result that we want beyond impressions. And how will we measure that this campaign worked for the IWMA?
So I think it's important to understand that the impressions are going to drive people to the website, and we can check our web activity. We can also check, arguably, even at the route review level and at the digester level, specifically for organics. We will see an increase in gas production if people continue to participate at that higher level and they understand where they're going. We'll also see it in the at the MRF level, because at the MRF level, they measure contamination to the currently. And so we'll be able to get a first-hand look at how these things are reported and how they're doing. They measure those quarterly on the contamination rate. So it's that big question. I mean, does this type of outreach really work for this type of a program? And so we'll get an answer to that And I think that's mostly what we're looking for.
I think that's the real key.
Yeah.
Director Hammond, you brought up kids, and I don't know if you mean college kids or regular kids. I'm thinking like kids today are learning that in school.
Yeah.
So they are learning, you know, we learned to just not litter, you know,
yeah.
my day. Today it's a whole new ball game. So I think those kids, I don't know that we're necessarily needing to hit them on social media, nor would they necessarily watch it. But those kids are learning and probably telling their parents, hey, this is what needs to be done. That's just my guess. And it sounds like we have a pretty robust program in the schools.
We have a very robust program in the schools with Science Discovery. The key is what happens is what right after they get out of high school and they get into college, they forget everything they've learned and the hormones go crazy and they do whatever. So I think it is important.
Some more that college level, not necessarily trying to get the elementary school and high school.
They tend to change their priorities. But I think it's super important that we keep reinforcing that. And right now, I mean, we're looking at, you know, some production that we've done that is quality production, and we've got much more of that we can expound on as we go further down the road. I hate to share it with the 2,000 people that we already have as followers. I want to make sure we reach out to a broader audience and get some real feedback on, does this really work? You know, I've seen the billboard that Monterey County's done, so the Sims Valley, and it's like, okay, you might get half a second, but I'm already fatigued by it.
Okay. Thank you, Director.
Can I add real quick, too? I mean, what's really important, especially with younger kids, is reinforcement. They're through Science Discovery and what they're learning in school, but they go home and all of a sudden they see it for 30 seconds on the screen again, and it's subliminal. They kind of reinforce what they've been said before. And that's why it's helpful, again, frequency and penetration in the beginning of this will help, and then taper off, and just a constant knowledge out there about what we're supposed to be doing is all it takes to keep it going. So I think it's important.
Agreed. And I think that, you know, what we do is we will meet every month and we'll go through all of the metrics. And this campaign is geared a little bit older. You know, it sounds like you have a strategy for social media. And I feel like, did you say YouTube on there as well? And if at any point in time that element is not driving the results and we need to pivot and say, like, look, we need to move our streaming to gear a little bit younger or whatever, we can do that at any given time. So that this kind of is right now structured to hit a little bit more of that 25 plus. Clearly that mirrors our broadcast audience as, you know, more 35 plus. Okay, fine, 45 plus. But, you know, but we can pivot. That's what's great about having this piece that extends beyond KSBY's brand, via whether that's, you know, actual broadcast or our KSBY content. So it can be changed.
Any questions? Jim? Director?
Okay. Yeah, so I just, you said that the cost per impression was a little over $17 overall. Can you tell me the cost per impression for exclusively for your streaming piece, because it just happens to be something I can mentally compare to.
Yeah. So is there a cost per thousand impressions?
Yes. So our cost per thousand for the streaming element, I feel like off the top of my head, it's $32. So yeah. Combining that with broadcast is making it a lower CPM.
Okay, so 32. And then just because, so that I understand, as an example, your 6 a.m. broadcast news, mm-hmm. What demographic is that? And what demographic do you guys think it is?
Sure. So I think what we built everything off of was 18 plus. Mm-hmm. So we just went for the broad. So, I mean, again, that's kind of the mass. That's the everything. We can pare it down and look at it, what it is differently. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
so you don't necessarily know what the 6 a.m. broadcast, what that audience is.
Well, what we put in there was the 18 plus audience. So if we were to, and I think, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head what that slide said. So it's on the individual slide. So it shows you the individual delivery and then the monthly cumulative delivery.
Per program, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the 18 plus is meaning adults 18 plus. So, because this is a really a broad campaign and we're trying to reach everyone, but we can go a little bit deeper and go 35 to 54. Yeah.
Like if you were looking to like, what's the audience profile?
There's not a lot of 18-year-olds watching your
screen. Right. So again, so that's again, be like an all-inclusive number. But if you were to say like, yeah, okay, what does that really look like? We can build a one sheet that says, this is the makeup, you know, what percentage is 50+, what percentage is 35, 54, just, yeah.
Yeah, news is pretty much going to skew about 50-50 for our audience profile. Something like the Today Show is going to skew more towards women.
And if somewhere during this campaign we felt that the broadcast piece of it wasn't working, we wanted to transfer those to be used as streaming just instead. Streaming. Is that doable in the middle of this?
Of course.
Okay. Then my question for staff is, in your profiling how you want to use this, does this fit the demographics that you guys think you want to reach? And do you have a way of reviewing and adjusting?
We'll be constantly bringing this back to the board for review. And I think that's where it becomes important, where we're starting taking their results, bringing it back to the board, discussing how we're doing, discussing where our impressions are coming from, and discussing who's hitting our website and what kind of changes we're seeing. I think it's important to realize that this campaign is something that's flexible and adjustable based upon where we see success, where we see failures, where we see places where we need more activity. And this is just the first phase of that.
I want to push back on that a little bit because that's way too slow to come back to this board and do marketing by 11, a committee of 11. Cool. So I'm wondering, what is your capacity or what is your intention within staff to make these kinds of adjustments 2 weeks from now?
Oh, no, absolutely. If we see something's not working, we're not going to continue to throw money at it. I think that's what you're aiming
that's
at.
What I mean. And do we, yeah. do we have a plan?
We have
we're hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, we're hoping to reach that demographic outside of our choir that we currently preach to. Like I said, we actually have a choir of about 2,000 people that we preach to on a regular basis. I want to expand that. The intent is to drive people to our website. The intent is to have that activity. If we see activity from these commercials, from certain segments of these impressions, then that's what we're going to lean into. And I think staff has a pretty good handle on how to manage that. I feel extremely confident in Ashley's ability to make those adjustments as we move forward.
And one thing I'm really excited about, too, is you saw there's kind of a diversity of messages within those videos. And the 30 seconds gets even more diverse in terms of what the tone is and then what types of people are featured in those videos. So I'm excited to be able to play around with, oh, the grandma really resonates with the older generation, for instance, and things of that nature. So I think the campaign that we have right now, it'll have a lot of diversity in it and making sure that we are really hitting people where they are, hitting people where they're viewing things, and making sure that as we go along, we're experimenting with what pairs work best.
Yes, black sports, good.
Thank you.
Questions? Well, I just like to make a comment. I think definitely one of the areas that we need to improve on is educating and getting the word out. I was just at a meeting just the other day, a week ago, and the gentleman said, well, I just put all my stuff in the black garbage, and, you know, it gets separated, you know, on its own. And, you know, and everyone's jaw just dropped. So we need to get out there, get everyone informed. And I think even with 6 months, that may not be enough. I think we initially need to get out there, get the word out, and then reevaluate. So I don't know if in a couple of weeks we'll be able to truly be able to, you know, acknowledge what's going on. As, you know, Director Hammond mentioned, he's been doing it for 40 years. So, I mean, it takes, you know, you got to be out there. There's always more people that you got to get in front of. So I think we need to get the word out. And but initially, as we start, we got to get everyone included. And then we'll see where we need to focus. And it could be, you know, a few months down the road. But I like to see this plan in action.
Anyone else? Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. I recently met you, Shira, so I didn't know if you recognized me, but Cindy Edwards from Morro Bay. I actually have a question. I appreciate this presentation. I do absolutely value how this works into the whole marketing campaign. One question I did have, and this is, I don't know, it's probably simple, but I was just wondering the effectiveness between the 30 second versus the you know, 130, if you could kind of just explain that. And then I have a question for you, Ashley Stone.
Yeah. So the reason we integrated 30-second commercials as well as the minute 30 is because we definitely want to get those minute 30s out there. However, we don't want to completely fatigue the audience. We want to make sure that the message is effective and that they are seeing it frequently. So allowing us to have a 30-second commercial out there is going to make sure that we get that message. Like we said, and we've been saying, you have to tell people the same thing over and over and over again. And people are exposed daily to so many content and so many ads. So it reinforces the frequency, and it helps with the CPM as well.
Thank you. I could see the young people appreciating the 30 seconds. I'm even starting to get like that.
Non-skippable.
The question that I had for you was with regard to the social media intern. And do we look at Cal Poly Cuesta marketing students, communication students, journalism students, I mean, anybody in that field? Because that is $15,000. And I didn't know if it could be a credit situation or...
Yeah, so our deputy director, Greg Ellis, he posted it to a Cal Poly job board. And so we've had a few applications rolling in. It is a paid position, I think, because that's fair to pay somebody for their labor. So we've had a couple of applicants so far, and definitely we'll keep you updated as that progresses. So far, it's been me doing the social media, so I'm a little stretched thin on that. And like I'm posting once a week when we could be posting a lot more and reaching a lot more people. So I'm really excited about that prospect.
Very good. Anyone else?
After public comment, we'll have more. Comments.
We will. Yes. Thank you so much for your presentation. You. Lots of information. Okay. And before I bring it to the board, is there any public comment on this matter?
Julie Tacker again, and when I first read the staff report, there's a paragraph, fourth paragraph down, says today the board will get the opportunity to see the videos and a proposal from KSBY for distribution. They left. My concern is I didn't get to see the proposal before. I don't know how you can make a decision on something that you just watched and you don't have anything to compare it to. Is there another provider that can have as many touches through a different media? I didn't see a request for proposal to get KSBY here. The videos are darling. I hope you get royalties. Michael, you're going to get royalties on your chef. Anyway, cute. But it's the process. What are we comparing this proposal to? It's a lot of money. And if it's only 6 months, if you want to do it again, now we're talking $150,000 in a year. It's a lot of money. And you have, again, nothing to compare. We have nothing to compare it to. And I can't see the detail that you see on those screens. I don't have the benefit of that. So I'm disappointed by that we're not brought along sooner. And the Monday distribution of the packet puts the public and yourselves at a disadvantage. So it's just how we do business here that I'm having trouble with. I think it can be better.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Nope. Seeing none, bring it back to the board for discussion. Anyone have any questions? Discussion points?
Yes. Thank you, President Robert. Yeah, I just hope that, first of all, I really support this. I think it's a great idea, and I love the videos. And I know there was a great deal of thought and consideration that went into the RFP for the videos back in the past. And I think we made a really good choice, and staff made really good recommendations in that regard. I hope that our local task force can be mobilized in terms of getting the videos available to the jurisdictions, and that each of the jurisdictions will be able to give advice to the IWMA in terms of how best to use the video in their particular you know, particular location. So I'd say that to me is really important. Besides us doing the social media, all of these seven cities, and I'm sure some CSDs, also have social media presences, and the county also has continuous streaming when a meeting is not going on in the county government center. They're streaming through public television. The city of San Luis Obispo does that too. Maybe other cities do that too. So the videos could be, you know, made available just with this kind of random thing, and people actually watch it, believe it or not, you know. The other thing is, in terms of the Chamber of Commerce, the San Luis Obispo, there are other chambers of commerce, to get the word out to the commercial, although it does, we are essentially addressing residential and individuals having to make that scary decision when you have that thing in your hand and you want to get rid of it and you're trying to figure out which bin it goes in. But I think getting it out to the chambers, Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis, anything like that. And again, as I said earlier, Cal Poly and Cuesta both have studios. They have channels that the students can, you know, log into. They have these programs. They have all these interviews. I mean, there's a lot of free media exposure out there that we can have besides this 6-month experiment, which I think is very helpful. But the videos are the key to the whole thing, and I want to thank staff for bringing this forward. That's all I have.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions for staff. One, remind me, this is part of a much bigger state grant, as I remember. We allocated
$267,000.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a $1.4 million grant.
And so there's 1.78.
There's still no. We've spent some of those monies on other items like the R3 study, on the waste characterization studies that we're doing. We've done
roughly how much of that money is left?
Roughly at this point in time, I think there's about $787,000.
So still the majority of it's left.
Yeah.
My second question, the reason I asked about the 32, about the cost per image for streaming, do we have a competitive, what they said $32, do we have, since we do some streaming work now, do we have a cost per impression for what we're already doing, or a general cost? What would KUYT be charging, as an example?
In terms of the outreach channels that we already have, at least since my time here, everything that we've done has been free via outreach channels that we already have. So it's cost is zero, but besides staff time, but it's a lot smaller of a scope, like in the magnitudes of hundreds or sometimes into the thousands versus what KSBY would offer. I'll let Peter elaborate more on maybe other things in that nature.
Yeah, basically, we have gotten as far as KSBY, and I wanted to bring KSBY in today because I wanted to show you the videos and show you what was potentially out there. The intent today was to give you an option to bring this forward. While we can't, the challenge with media like this is that KSBY is our local station. They are going to be the strongest in this marketplace and in the market that we're trying to attack. To market to. We can get other proposals if you want to see other proposals, but I don't believe you're going to have the same impact. I share the concern that I wish there was more options for us, but realistically, they're not. If you're going to market in this market, if you're going to push something in this marketplace, you're going to probably want to push it with KSBY.
I will say, in the streaming realm, seems like there's a lot of other options.
Well, no, there are some in the streaming realm, but I think this is just the first step. I mean, we're not talking. We have $265,000 allocated to this project. You're looking at $65,000 of it.
Okay.
There's a whole Spanish language aspect that we need to explore as well as we move forward. I mean, there's a lot more to this project. This is just a single phase.
Okay. All right. I guess that I'll express some discomfort with not having other options, and we're just jumping into the what may be the most obvious first option. I know it's grant money. You know, it's not the same as real money.
But still taxpayers' money.
But I guess I will be looking to hear if this does go forward today, that I'll be looking to hear about exploring other options other than I see the boosting on Facebook, although maybe we need to be boosting on TikTok, but as another option, which in my experience has been way more effective. Now, granted, I'm not trying to reach 275,000 people, but in my experience, boosting on Facebook was by far the best political thing we ever did.
So, no, and we've throw that out. Yeah, we've been successful with that as well, and that's part of the program. So we're gonna do both that as well.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
I was gonna make a comment. You know, it's really hard what we're trying to market. There's nothing sexy about recycling, and nobody wants to sit there for 90 seconds and watch this. I mean, just to be blunt, right? When you said we had 2,000 followers, that is the core people probably in our county that just, you know, nerd out on this stuff, right? And that's why they follow us. But I can tell you, I mean, I've got four kids. They're not gonna watch it. You know, this is not gonna be the next trend on TikTok or anything else, right? And that's why I always go back to the basics. It's like, you know what? If our garbage cans don't have the best stickers on them that explain every detail, none of it matters. And I know you've heard me say this over and over, right? But at the end of the day, if you want a constant reminder of what goes in that trash can, the sticker is the number one thing. And the best thing about the sticker is it can be updated over time as maybe our recyclables change, you know? I'm not saying I'm against this because, I mean, I'm in the same ballpark. It is that dreaded grant money that, you know, we want to use, and it's great to increase participation. But if this was true budget money, it'd be really hard to support it, you know? But the sticker thing to me is like the number one priority by far.
So we've invested a lot in making sure the stickers are accurate and actually having them put as embedded graphics in with the haulers. So that every container that goes out there has those stickers on there, and it can't come off.
So on the embedded, the good and the bad is it's hard to actually read what it means. It's embedded in the same color as the can, or it's a light white on it sometimes, right? Like the toter cans I've seen, and it's just hard to read it. And it'd be even better if they made a spot on the cans that was actually made to put a permanent sticker that could be modified over time. Just my opinion.
Yeah, Robert. I agree definitely with Scott. I think coordinating what we have on film and so to speak in the can, that we can also take those graphics and put it on your sticker. So again, it remembers, I just saw that on TV and there it is again. That kind of a thing where you're putting it in front of them as many times as you can to get, you know, something to change, behavior to change. That's really what it's about. And plus, you know, we have it starting off with KSBY, but out there these days, before when I started, they didn't have all these other digital outlets. There's a lot now that we can put on cable. There's all kinds. She mentioned all the other outlets like Hulu and things. That's amazing that, you know, that cost and how the reach is going to happen. I just think we ought to kind of, you know, punt on the Santa Barbara County folks and see if they can help with this a little bit, because again, it's a community effort, you know, all the way up and down. It's for the greater good, but even still, we're taking the lead. I don't know if anybody else has done this, Peter, unless you have some things.
No, I think there's been other communities that have done stuff like this before, but right off the top of my head, I think Zero Waste Sonoma comes to mind. So I think it's challenging because what you're trying to do is you're trying to develop a message. You're trying to change where we're going. I think we have a hard stop at 4.
Yeah. So let's
get going.
Peter, Mr. President, if we can conclude this discussion and then take a brief recess, and then we'll figure out what next steps are. But the board should, again, continue and conclude this discussion, take action if it sees deems that appropriate, and then if we could take a brief recess.
Okay, just to be clear, we are looking for a motion to approve the KSBY proposal, but am I getting a consensus that we want to table this? No?
Sure.
Okay. I would say, I think for what we have in front of us and the relatively small amount in comparison to the total grant of what we're trying to accomplish, to the director's point that KSBY is the game in town. Yes, they're streaming and other things. I get that. But we're going to have to probably do more than this. Mm-hmm. But I think it makes sense to go. We've got to move forward and experiment with something. Yeah. Let's experiment with this and see if it's getting us the result that we want in terms of the feedback that the director mentioned. And then we can look at other options as well.
Is that a motion?
I will move approval of staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to take a brief recess. We have 10 minutes enough?
Less than that, because we're on
5 minutes.
We're on pace for like 4:35, 5:36
right,
to finish this.
So, Mr. President, if we could take a recess of about, let's say 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
So that we can confer, and we'll come back and give the board some idea of what the next steps are.
I'll take a brief recess.
So, Mr. President, the board is reconvening, and Councilmember Marks, you are recusing.
I'm recusing myself because I represent the city of San Luis.
And stepping out of the room. Thank you.
Out of the room. Okay.
Okay. The technical assistance grant application.
So item 13 is recommend the interim executive director to award $10,000 in grant funds to the city of San Luis Obispo to purchase and install indoor receptacles for trash recycling and organics in high-use city facilities to enhance internal recycling efforts. For that, I'm going to turn it over to Meg Buckingham from the city of San Luis Obispo.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, President Robert and members of the board. Meg Buckingham, the Solid Waste Recycling Program Manager for City of San Luis Obispo, going to talk about the Technical Assistance Grant Program, everyone's favorite topic, but I'm going to be pretty speedy because I know we have some time constraints. So a quick background before I jump into the request. The City of SLO City Council has adopted ambitious and exciting goals related to climate action. Our Climate Action Major City Goal proactively addresses the climate crisis, increasing resiliency through the implementation of our Climate Action Plan. This Climate Action Plan identifies a goal for the community to be carbon neutral by 2035. But more impressively, the Climate Action Plan has a plan within it titled Lead by Example, a plan for carbon neutral municipal operations, which is a goal-oriented plan that will help the city take action and reduce municipal greenhouse gas emissions and achieve zero waste between now and 2030, 5 years before the community-wide target. The Solid Waste and Recycling Program developed a municipal waste reduction plan as a roadmap with numerous initiatives to assist staff with this goal. Next slide, please. Okay, got cut off a little bit, but this was the TAG program is designed to empower local groups and change agents to develop community-based strategies for the prevention, separation, diversion, recycling, and composting of material. In 2023, the City of SLO staff performed an audit of the trash recycling and organics containers located at indoor and rentable city facilities to identify areas that need new containers in compliance with Senate Bill 1383. During this audit, staff observed certain city facilities had broken containers, incorrectly labeled containers, or no containers at all for recycling or organics. In the previous grant cycle, the City of SLO was successful in receiving $10,000 of TAG grant funding to help achieve the previously mentioned zero waste goals by procuring and installing clearly labeled trash recycling and organic containers in 14 public and high-use city facilities. We just finished year one of that grant cycle and submitted an annual report showcasing the success of the new containers. The report includes audit data showing decreased contamination levels with the grant-funded containers. Next slide, please. So due to the success of the prior year's program, the City of SLO is seeking another $10,000 to procure 2 and 3 stream trash recycling and organics containers in 21 remaining high-use locations. If approved and after the bins are procured, in-kind contributions of staff time will be dedicated to perform outreach and quarterly audits of the containers, assessing contamination levels, and report findings to the IWMA. City staff have already received City Council approval to apply for the grant and submitted the application to the IWMA on April 3rd, 2025. A few proposed locations include our Transit Administration Building, Community Development and Public Works Admin Offices, our Water Distribution Office, additionally, Fire Station 1, our Finance Offices, the rentable Meadow Park Community Room, and our Water Resource Recovery Facility. This grant would further the city's efforts towards meeting the ambitious zero waste goal included in our adopted climate action plan, with the intent that by leading by example, the city will simultaneously reduce greenhouse gas emissions and demonstrate replicable strategies to residents, businesses, and other organizations. I thank you for your time. I am available for any questions.
Thank you so much. Any questions?
Just really quick, I see plastic bags under the recycling, and we were told not to put our recycling in plastic bags. Is this just a picture for show, or is this being done in contrary to what is supposed to be done? Just asking.
So within, thank you for your question. So within public-facing containers or containers at home, there usually is a liner in the recyclable bin. What the difference is our janitorial team and residents at home should not transfer that bag to the outdoor recyclable facility or container. So if it's an indoor bin and there's a liner, as long as it doesn't get transferred, you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm interested in you have the $9,700 here as your part of your match here for doing the audit and a few other things. I'm wondering what was involved in the audit that you did on the for the previous program?
Yes, thank you so much for that question. We had quite a robust outreach program. So we had a lot of staff time for myself and our solid waste coordinator develop outreach materials for city staff via newsletters and within our internal portal that city staff review when they are onboarded at the city. Additionally, with the audit, quarterly, we go out to every single grant-funded container. We have a Microsoft form that we've developed. Take a photo, we write all the contaminants, and then we export it into an Excel file and create pie charts based on the contamination and the contaminants within every single grant-funded container.
And you said you had significant reduction. What was the reduction?
So I do have a hidden slide, if you wouldn't mind. I don't know how to find, if you exit out of the presentation, you'll be able to find the hidden slide.
Your best guess will do.
I have it in front of me printed as well. So let me get that for you.
Well, you look that up. I'm going to ask Peter or his staff. This would be the second TAG grant for the city of San Luis Obispo, correct?
Correct.
And how many other jurisdictions have not done a grant yet? How many jurisdictions, either CSDs on this body?
So I'm going to say that we've probably got about seven of the communities that have, and there's probably, that puts us at about 13 that have not.
Okay, thank you.
Alrighty, so when it comes to contamination, it's a pretty abstract calculation, but what we've done is we've mirrored it after the IWME's route reviews that are conducted for residential communities in the city. So what we've done,
pie charts.
So you'll see pie charts. So what we've done is we have sectioned them out between 0 to 10% contaminated, 11 to 49% contaminated, and then over 50% contaminated. So when we conducted our first quarter audit for each stream, we did see a reduction in contaminants within the recycling and the organic stream. Organics, when we first went out and did the audit, of the TAG containers, we had one that showed mid-level contamination. The rest were in the green or there was no contamination. But by the second audit, after we performed the outreach, there was no contamination in any of our organic bins. When it comes to recycling, when we first installed the bins, there was half of the bins did have mid-level contamination. One had extreme contamination. When we did our audit the second time around, a majority of the bins had no contamination at all and only a few with mid-level. There was none with severe.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir. I'm just curious, not to tell you who to use as a supplier, but it did shock me that your supplier's from Vermont, so you're losing like 9% in your shipping costs. But, you know, as we talk about environmental impacts, I mean, it's like, can we find maybe a supplier that's a little closer, you know? But mm-hmm. It's just more of a comment than anything else.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that perspective. When we were reviewing which supplier to go with, we were really looking for the customizable signage, which was really what makes this program a success. And believe it or not, it's really hard to find containers that do have 100% customizable signage for your community. So it did contribute to the decision, but always happy to shop local when there's an opportunity.
My concern on that, I mean, I'm kind of appalled at the pricing of these things. They look just look like big garbage cans to me that I could buy at Home Depot for $20 or something, and I could print out a sign on my computer that says, this is what this can is for and this is what that can is for. Nowadays it just seems like everything's so expensive, especially when it's for a specific purpose. And and as Mr. Newton indicated, we're going to ship these things across the country on a truck because we're concerned about greenhouse gases, and seems contrary to me. And I have a hard time wrapping my head around $270 for two trash cans with an additional $32 a piece for signage. And I'm becoming more and more skeptical as we go on these tag assistance grants. And I've had some concerns about various ones of them, but I don't know. I don't know that I can support this one or. And I kind of want to look at the whole idea in terms of what are we really gaining. And so I'd really like to, when we have a discussion about that policy at some point in time. So even though I laud you for, you guys stepping forward and wanting to do this stuff, but you also have an advantage in the sense of San Luis Obispo as a full-time staff member to pursue these things. And I don't know that any of the rest of the jurisdictions do. So anyway, thank you.
Good concerns.
Yes.
I'm kind of torn about this as well, and nothing against San Luis Obispo or this program. I think it's great, but when I started going around talking to other jurisdictions, the CSD, nobody really knew about this program. I know Cayucas. That's when I first found out was because Cayucas was on this IWMA grant. Just, I think it was about a month and a half ago or two. So that was the first time I heard about it. I went back to my general manager, and I've been on the board of Templeton for 9 years, and I didn't know about it. My general manager, who was very knowledgeable, didn't know about it. And as I went to other districts, they didn't know about it. So I think we need to get the word out on this, let all the districts know. And I do appreciate what San Luis is doing, but not all jurisdictions have the full-time staff, as you mentioned, to do this. And I know for us, we need, in Templeton, we need containers on our main street, but we don't have the staff. Is it really challenging to find the time and staff time? So I don't know. I think something needs to change, and I just have a hard time supporting something like this when it's not, not all the jurisdictions basically are notified. That's all I have to say. Sorry. Thank you.
No. Okay. So I'm looking for a motion for this, please.
Mr. President, I don't know if we've taken public comment on this.
Thank you for that. Do you have any public comment for this, please? Okay. Thank you. Bring it back to the board and look for a motion.
Yeah, I'm going to move that we pause this program until there's definitely a whole number of us now that want to review this, and I'm going to move that we pause this program until we review this and then come back with perhaps this one or a whole different program.
I'll second that.
First and second, roll call, please.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
No.
Ms. Marks is recusing herself. Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
No.
This motion passes.
Very good. We bring back in Ms. Marks. Can she hear it? No, she can't hear us.
Peter, do you mind?
Can she hear us? Ms. Marks, come on in.
Has applied for this grant?
I'm sorry.
I think it is ridiculous the prices they charge cities. Yeah. Stickers are good.
Okay.
No. Okay. Everyone's back. Moving on to item number 14, potential discussion and approval of resolution and employment agreement for executive director. Have any public comment on that, please? Oh, wait, no. Presentation first. I'm sorry, thank you. I'm sorry, I'll call for after the presentation so you have all the information. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll just briefly pause to clarify both for the board and for the public. So we misunderstood the hard stop. So it's now at 5 o'clock, but that is a hard stop for this room. I will note that materials for all of the remaining items on the agenda, with the exception of this item 14, were provided to your board and to the public in advance. And so staff is well aware of this time constraint. We will move briskly through our presentations, but we know that all of these remaining items are important for your board. So we will move briskly so that you can have time for ample time for discussion. So packets for this item number 14, we left about 15 copies available for members of the public. You've got the background in front of you. As you know, Mr. Cron has announced his retirement after 3 years serving as the executive director. Your board has engaged in a very thorough, comprehensive national search for a new executive director and have selected Mr. Kobe Skye to serve as the new executive director. More background on this is in the staff report, including, but I will, as required by the Brown Act, read orally a summary of the recommendation of compensation. So the base salary for your current executive director is $182,895. Based on Mr. Skye's extensive experience, the recommendation on base salary, which is part of the proposed contract, is $195,000, with an opportunity for a one-time merit increase following a performance evaluation in December. Additionally, as Mr. Skye will be relocating to San Luis Obispo County, relocation expenses of $8,000 are recommended. All other fringe benefits are consistent with the benefits package offered to the current executive director or are consistent with benefits offered to other senior local agency executives. That concludes my presentation, Mr. President. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Public comment, please.
I too will be quick.
Thank you.
Clearly, we're going to pay this gentleman more money than your previous executive director. And I sent you an email this morning asking you to consider a cost-saving measure in that you eliminate the deputy director position, and I stand by that recommendation. The other possible cost-saving measure would be to eliminate the IED, the interim executive director, as soon as practical. And then I had a concern on the benefits, 4.1, where the IWMA shall contribute the sum of $1,897 per month towards the medical. According to your handbook, the other staff gets $1,650. So if that could be changed, or if this person indeed deserves more, that should be clarified.
Thank you for your comments. Bring it back for the discussion. Any questions?
No. Can we go into comments now?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I just want to say that the board has had the opportunity to meet Mr. Skye, and the process has been very thorough, and I support the staff recommendation for item 14.
Any other discussion? I look for a motion, please.
Just a little quick question. Can you clarify the difference, the 1897 versus the 1650?
Oh, man.
It's all the same amongst all staff.
It's all the same.
Yeah, you know, everybody's at 1850 now. You made that correction last year.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're all at 18. They're all 18. Okay. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll move approval of the agreement as presented by legal counsel.
So, Director Borbo, if you would mind amending it just to adopt staff recommendation as listed in the it's both to approve the resolution appointing the employment contract and authorizing the board president and legal counsel to take any other action necessary.
Yeah, I'll move approval of staff's recommendation that includes all three actions listed in the staff report.
Hammond.
I'll second it.
Hammond.
Oh.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
There we go. Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to item number 15, mandatory annual status report on public sector vacancies.
Yes, on the
receive and file.
Yeah, basically to receive and file. So on the mandatory annual status of public report to public sector.
Microphone.
Into a microphone? You want me to hear what I'm saying? Okay. Mandatory annual status report on public sector vacancies under AB 2561 was enacted in 2024 requiring public agencies to report on staffing vacancies, recruitments, and retention efforts.
Mr. Cron, I think we can just have it presented as is.
Yeah, let's say there's currently only one vacancy, deputy professor, and now there it is.
That's it. Okay, any public comment on this item? Seeing none, any discussion, questions?
I'd like to move the staff's recommendation on item number 15.
Receive and file.
Oh, well, then let's receive it and file it.
Okay, receive and file it. Thank you. Okay, moving on to number 16.
Third quarter budget review for fiscal year 24-25. Recommendation received, discussed, and filed third quarter budget review. Reader's Digest condensed version, revenues are about 107% of budget. Expenses are about 63% of budget. One of the things that we show is we show a latency in some of our expenses, particularly around the HHW. We're going to see a lot of HHW costs coming in. I think we're going to run about 20% over on HHW. Some of the other costs will in effect not impact our budget as a line as a total in services, but HHW costs are going to continue to go up. We've seen an increase in battery costs. We've seen an increase in actual compressed cylinder disposal. So it's one of the things we've been faced with going on. And interest revenue has gone up about 500%. That's primarily because we're holding a large reserve. So then, if you take a look at it, income totals where we see it are the total income is up about 2.9 million. We're running on budget with salaries and wages and services. Services and capital outlay are running just a little under budget, but the fourth quarter we should see an increase in our expenses that will offset the revenues that we have received, and those will be carried forward mostly by HHW and fourth quarter expenses that will be surrounding the SB 1383 local assistance grant. So if you have any questions.
Any questions? No questions? Any public comment on this item, please?
Julie, again, the staff report on the very top of page 48 speaks to 555 Charles capital expenses are 903,372. Yet in the capital outlay for the building on page 50, it's 902,372. I'm not sure which one is the correct number. And then I just wanted to say that I have toured the building, and I think that some improvements should be made. There's lighting that's poor, ventilation is poor, I smelled mold. I was looking out for the staff, and there's a little tiny mini refrigerator. This is their home away from home. They should be able to keep their contents in a regular size refrigerator. Oddly, there's no like reception area. So when I entered, I knocked on a glass door, there's no ding bell, and someone will help me. So I think that there's some layout issues that I hope you actually do spend some money on that building to make it more conducive. Was that a no? Or you had an itchy nose? Okay. an adamant no. anyway, I think the building has promise, but right now your staff is kind of in an uncomfortable situation there. And I have deep concerns over the ADA compliance on access, and even when you get inside, bathroom doors, are they wide enough for a wheelchair, that kind of thing. And again, I didn't hear an update on the ADA work, and would love to, so thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, this too is a received and filed. I'm sorry, April.
I sat through a lot of meeting for these 3 minutes. Thank you. April Dury again, financial person. The only thing I'm really going to speak to now, you, again, don't have the person who's prepared this report for you here to even ask questions if you had them. If you're just going to, you know, file and receive, that's sad. Because in the end, if they're, especially for the IWMA of all places, knowing their history, if there is anything going on, then it's, you know, the board approved, the board approved, the board approved. And I would hope that you would really look at these things and understand them truly, or have a person here to answer questions if you had them. The thing that I do want to speak on briefly is something that Julie Tacker spoke to, was the way the building looks. It's my understanding that $35,000 was approved by the board for improvements to the new building. I don't see where they are. And my question really is, if they were assets that have been spent, you know, purchased, to for improving this building, they wouldn't be on your expense report. They would be on what we would call a balance sheet, because they're an asset. It would improve the value of the building itself. Window coverings, carpeting, that doesn't improve. So my question is, have you ever found out if the $35,000 was spent, what the plan is, where is it? Because it certainly doesn't look that way at all. And I'm concerned. That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Actually, I'll have anyone on the board. Any questions or discussion? No? No? Okay. All right. Thank you. And that's a receive and file as well. Okay. Moving on to 17, solid waste management fee study, rate study, final report.
Right. So at your last board meeting, you got to see the draft report on the solid waste management fee study. The recommendation is receive and file the final report of the solid waste management fee rate study rate stabilization model, and add this report as addendum A4 to policy FS1 fee setting policy. The R3 presented to the board of the draft study at the May 14th meeting. The fee study identifies a five-year plan to stabilize reserves. It's part of a plan to stabilize reserves. This is the first part, is to try and get our give us a plan to spend down and give the rates back to the people that paid the rates. The fee study also seeks to justify cost of services to each customer class. So what we're trying to do is trying to make sure that the people that are having to comply with SB 1383 are paying for the cost of the compliance with SB 1383. By adopting this fee study as policy, the study will act as guidance to stabilize rates going forward for the next 5 years. The board can revisit the study at each year to make sure that any necessary adjustments are made if things change, which they always do. What I'm asking today is that you adopt the fee study as policy in our fee setting policy. And this will act as guidance to encumber the funds that we have to get them back to the ratepayers who paid them. Any questions?
Very good.
Yeah, are there any changes to the resolution that you wanted to recommend?
The resolution is on item 18, and that's I'll explain that at item 18.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just wonder if you could expand a little bit on, we've reduced our percentage three separate times. Why you think this, which granted is much lower, why you think this is going to be the correct one going forward, and also why we aren't going, even though we've discussed this, why we aren't going to straight to a fixed rate.
So The same company that did the fee study for us did the rate setting process for a lot of the South County cities. And in that, they've tied what their allowable rate increases are to a CPI indicator that's based on the garbage companies, the indices that the garbage company uses. What has impacted us in the past is that there's been these large double-digit increases from the waste haulers that have directly impacted our solid waste management fee. Now, instead of reducing it to zero and then slowly climbing back up, I didn't want it to look and have a perception that we were increasing fees dramatically. I want the line item to stay on the garbage bill, but I don't want the line item to disappear completely. So that what that does, that gives us a perception that we're easing into this and we'll ease it back up. The intent is to try and make this a soft landing. We never know what the state of California is going to give to us. I don't imagine we're going to see a grant from them for the next 8 years. The state of California is going through a really tough time, and I just don't see that happening. So I think this model gives us the best accountability from a perspective of applying cost to services and then easing us back into where we need to be. It'll give us an ability to adjust like year three, year four, and year five to make sure that when we get down to that. And then equally, in either August or September meeting, I want to bring the next executive director will bring back to you a policy addressing our reserves. And because HHW costs have gone up, I think we need to address that in increasing our reserves for HHW as well. So this is the first part of a multi-fingered approach to bringing rate stability and rate stabilization to the agency. You know, we started at 5.4%. That was, nobody really knew what SB 1383 was going to bring. Nobody knew what the real card costs were going to bring. So we've been able to try and focus on that and focus on our compliance efforts. We still haven't completed the JACE cycle yet. So once we complete the JACE cycle, then we'll know exactly what we need to do.
I'd like to comment, though, also, I mean, that our ability to lower rates the last 3 years has, you know, been largely because the anticipated costs of implementing 1383, which our prior consultant had, you know, estimated for us, has come in a lot lower, and it's largely due to good management. You know, effective accomplishment of meeting state requirements with a minimal staff. So I want to thank Peter and the staff for having accomplished all this with far less staffing than our original consultant, you know, recommended. And of course, part of that rate 5.4 was also predicated on an assumption of garbage rate increases, which were much higher in the end than we anticipated, therefore produced more revenue. So, you know, we've accumulated this revenue. We need to return it to the potentially ratepayers in the form of lower rates. But I agree, it wouldn't be great to drop it down to zero and then suddenly immediately be ratcheting it back up. This is, you know, going to go down and then come back up as needed. Because even if you dropped it to zero, you'd still have to adjust. This is, I think, going to be, we're attempting a smooth landing is what we're attempting here, while returning as much as possible to the ratepayers, so through lower rates. So I think I'm on board with this completely, but we'll see what else everybody has to say in public comment.
Well, I kind of liken it to reducing power coming down lower altitude at this point. And
then, spoken more from a pilot.
We'll stabilize that rate.
I've never been good at landing an airplane.
Yeah, there you go.
You have to approve this. This is the recommendation is to receive and file the final report and then have it added as an addendum A4 to the policy.
Mic's off. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, bring it back.
I'll move approval.
Mic on.
I'll move approval of staff's recommendation.
A second, please.
Second.
And Jim, your roll call, please.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Aye.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Thank you very much. touched on this one already, so 18 resolution.
Yeah, 18, the resolution. So before we begin this one, I have to make a correction. It's correct in the staff report, but it's not correct in the, I mean, it's correct on my screen, but it's not correct in the staff report that the SB 1383 compliance of 0.35% of gross receipts for commercial company customers in areas exempted from SB 1383. And so I think I put on the on the actual resolution 0.25%. And once I did it once, I copied it everywhere else. So 0.35. Yeah, and so
on the bottom of page 76, it says 0.25. You're saying it should say 0.35. So okay.
Yeah, if I can just add to that. 71. When you look at page 53 of the consultant's report, exempt accounts, commercial exempt accounts, what's recommended is 0.35%.
Right.
And that is what is now reflected in the resolution.
Yeah,
right?
What should be now reflected in the resolution.
Correct. Been corrected. Very good. Okay.
So once again, this is the same page. The temporary reduction in rates for the IWMA, I've highlighted those in yellow on the screen, and that shows that where the residential customers are paying 0.84% on exempt accounts, 1.77 on SB 1383 affected accounts, and commercial and exempt accounts should be 0.35, and commercial accounts should be that are affected should be 2.06. This also gives you a vision of how the rates will move. Questions was on the commercial side, on the residential side, how much it goes up on the exempt accounts in year two. That's largely due to the fact we reduce our SB 1383 local assistance grant funding, and so you'll see more of an impact on that, and that's mostly attributed to the HHW costs. Any questions on that?
Questions? Public comment on this? No, seeing none, bring it back to the board.
I'll move approval of the rate resolution as amended to reflect the 0.35% as discussed.
Second.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
I actually think Ms. Edwards beat me to it.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think you beat me to it. Somebody did. Okay.
Perfect. Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Aye.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Motion passes. Okay, item number 19, resolution 2025-62 fiscal year plan.
Adopting resolution 25-0602, approving preliminary budget for fiscal year 25-26. So the ad hoc committee met and discussed the draft budget spending plan on March 27th. We also met a couple other times after that. And at the May 14th meeting, the board was presented a draft budget and spending plan. Today, we present the preliminary budget for adoption by the full board. I won't read all the things that we've done over the last year or things we're planning for this year. The achieving compliance with state mandates and minimum measures is our primary goal, and that's what we're always going to focus on. Perform deferred capital projects, which include some of the expenses we were talking about at the 555 Choro, and complete one-time expenses on the SB 1383 local assistance grant. Continue to identify and correct program gaps. That'll be part of our, in reflection of our JACE review, and make any necessary updates to IWMA policies and procedures and improve IWMA engagement through new methods of outreach, which includes what we just discussed on item 12. Significant revenue assumptions is that the sale of the building, I earmarked it at 880. I don't believe we're going to do that, but I had to start someplace. Start high. Interest revenues are one of the things that are of a concern to us, and that's because we've got those high reserves as we do the spending plan, and they continue to go down. Those should drop off and decrease solid waste management fee. You're seeing about $1.44 million projected based upon the fee study that we just adopted. Typically, we run about $2.4 to $2.8 million. And then salaries, wages, and benefits. We did a 3% increase based upon what CPI is looking at. We have some things coming up that are going to be reflected on that. I didn't feel comfortable doing anything other than the 3%. And then significant expenses is increased HHW disposal costs. As I was saying before, those are going up dramatically, so I'm allocating another $200,000 for those disposal costs. One-time 1383 expenses, those are one-time costs, so it'll be in this budget cycle. The following budget cycle will not have those. They'll drop dramatically on those pieces. And so our projected on our 25-26, our total income will be 3.7, and our total expenses will be 4.6, and that should have us running at a net operating loss of about $900,000. That's with intent to try and spend down some of those reserves. Any questions? Go ahead.
Could you just go back one? So in these, where is it reflecting the actual, the actual? I understand we're reducing the rate, but where does this actually reflect the actual? What I'm going to call the spend down, because I'm trying to stay away from the spend down.
I'm sorry, the rate stabilization
there's
model.
There's no expense line here for that item.
There's not an expense line for that item. It is just the net operating loss that we're going to be running at. So we're going to be running at a net operating loss for the next.
So that $918,000 is, in one way or another, money that we're returning to the ratepayers?
Well, we're returning the money by not collecting solid waste management fees. So if I go back up, to
okay, this
here.
Is different than the way we described it. So we will not be collecting enough money for the next 5 years.
Correct.
To pay our expenses.
Correct.
Okay.
The return is in the lower revenue line at the top of the.
I understand. It's just not the way we discussed it at one point. Okay. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah, I just had a minor question on page 88. We're talking about the goals for the. Coming for the future, and they're listed as being the goals for 24-25.
Right. I'll make. Thank you. I will make those corrections.
In fact, we're talking about future goals, so right. It should be for
25-26.
Could you please make that? And since these are also going to be folded into the right. goals for the incoming executive director, we need to make sure that he knows that this is what we're talking about.
Before we post it on the website, I will go through and make those changes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good catch. Any questions? Some public comment on this matter, please.
There, last time. Julie Tacker. I'm all about process, and I was looking for a public hearing notice, as you all do your adoptions that way for your budgets. That apparently isn't the way things go around here. So I was looking for the procedures for what your authority does, and in 10.7C of the Joint Powers Authority Agreement, most recent version, it spoke to sending it to all the member agencies and getting some input from the districts and cities that are member agencies, and that didn't happen in my town or the other towns that I watch until yesterday at 2:35 p.m. So the distribution went to staff didn't have the opportunity to take it to the boards and councils to have even a consent item where the IWMA's budget is available. Here you're talking a little earlier about being unknown and how recycling isn't known. If people don't know who you are and what money is being spent in their towns, when they see their agendas come forward, that's exactly why. You're not talking about the IWMA at home enough. And to see a budget like this, and to see that you're spending down, sort of, that's a win, right? Those things should be discussed at home and in a timely fashion, not on the eve of the adoption of the budget. I could find some fun ways to spend your money. And I think protecting your staff with the buildings, the situation there is it's not good. And I wish there had been a better process on that, on the purchase of it. But you've heard a lot of my concerns about that in the past, but today my concern is just about how you're going about the adoption of this budget. It's in a vacuum because you didn't do a public hearing and you didn't do what the authority says you're going to do.
Thank you for your comments. All right, bring it back to the board. Questions?
Discussion? Chair Robert, yes. I'd like to make a motion if you're ready.
I have a motion. Can I have a second, please?
Well, let me go ahead and read it, Dave. This is a recommendation to adopt resolution 2025-0602, approving the preliminary budget fiscal year 2025-2026.
A second.
I'd like to second that.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Aye.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Thank you very much. Now, item 20, Executive Committee elections. Fun.
So the recommendation is to conduct executive committee elections as required by the IAWMA Joint Powers of Agreement, Section 9.4, officers.
I'd like to just say that the process that we've followed in the past is that the vice president becomes the president. And if Mr. Guthrie is ready and willing, it's a three-year commitment. Then the present president becomes the past president and is on the executive committee along with the president. And I'd like to nominate Fareed Fardanesh for vice president.
I would second that.
Well, let's see if he accepts.
He doesn't have a choice. Would you like to? Okay. Put your mic on. There you go.
Thank you. And now it will be a pleasure working with everyone. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So that's my motion.
Very good. All right. A second.
My second.
Do they need to be separate in terms of president and vice president, or do you put those two together?
It can be as a slate. That's fine.
Perfect. Yeah.
So we have a first, we have a second.
Would you like to take public comment, Mr. President?
Any comments? Public comment on that, please? Nope. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Discussion?
Well, did you want to make your comment about the districts or not?
Let's just get this moving.
Yeah, let's go.
No comments. Go.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Motion passes. All right, item 21. Recognition of Executive Director Peter Cron. I will read this. A resolution of the Board of Directors of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority recognizes Executive Director Peter Cron. Whereas Peter Cron has served as an outstanding Executive Director of the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority since June 2022. Whereas before rejoining the IWMS As executive director in 2022, Mr. Cron served the IWMA for more than 10 years as staff analyst. Whereas under Mr. Cron's leadership, the IWMA has become a trusted partner for local governments and solid waste industry professionals in San Luis Obispo County, increased public education and outreach efforts, and implemented programs for community to stay compliant and mandated state laws regulating regarding resource management. Whereas during Mr. Cron's management for the agency, Mr. Cron has achieved the rare ability to do more with less and contributing to the IWMA's ability to reduce its solid waste management fee by nearly 50%. Whereas for the past 3 years, Mr. Cron has served as a transformative leader for the agency, revitalizing the agency, enhancing its commitment to effective waste management, and building trust with the agency's partners and stakeholders, and the foundation he has established will keep the agency on solid footing in the future. Whereas Mr. Cron has become a trusted voice and authority in the field of solid waste management in the community and the state, and whereas the Board of Directors of the IWMA wishes to honor Mr. Cron for a career in integrity and public service, which serves as a shining example, not only for the IWMA, but for the greater community of San Luis Obispo County and the state of California. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby recognizes the outstanding service of Peter Cron to the IWMA, all of its participating agencies, and the people of San Luis Obispo County. Be it further resolved that the Board of Directors expresses its gratitude to Mr. Cron for his service to the IWMA and his career-long dedication to integrity and public service. Be it further resolved that the Board of Directors hereby regards Mr. Cron and wishes, congratulates Mr. Cron and wishes him a joyful and fulfilling retirement. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys. But once again, you don't do it by yourself.
Yeah.
So
let's go up front.
Yeah, so it's a resolution of the board. So if you'd like to take a vote, approve the resolution,
and then
you can
then
make
we'll
your presentations. This does require public comment as well, if
okay.
There is any.
Any public comment? No, I think she left.
Okay. I will move we adopt the resolution.
You got a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, very well. Roll call, please.
Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Fardanesh?
Aye.
Ms. Edwards?
Yes.
Mr. Guthrie?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Robert?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Are we going to just stand behind you guys?
Yeah,
let's do that. Debbie, why don't you kind of, yeah, go in there. There you go.
In addition to the board resolution, your state senator and assembly member can also provide it to the recommendation to Peter Curtis. And then Director Marks also has a small token.
Sure, it's a recycling bin, not a trash bin.
Yeah, we could do that too.
Yeah, we probably all should have gotten together. But there
yeah.
You go. All right.
Well, once again, you don't do it by yourself. Yeah. Makes it happen.
Thank you for that. All right, last item. We have the board member communications. Would anyone like to speak on any communications that they've had?
Well, I just have a question. I am not going to be able to make the meeting of August 13th, and I'm wondering if we could postpone it to August 20th. I don't know how the rest of you feel about that or what the process would be or if that would mess up anything else.
So, Director Marks, maybe we can poll the board to see if that's an option.
Yeah.
And we can see if there's a sufficient quorum. We could, well, the clerk can send an email.
So after the meeting?
Yes, after the meeting.
Okay, good. Yeah. My alternate, Michelle Shoresman, has agreed that she can come at that time. But of course, I would like to be there. So thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Chair Robert. I'd just like to say thank you again personally to Peter. I mean, it was almost 4 years ago when you answered that phone call from me saying that, you know, we need some help.
And I'll never forgive you for that phone call.
Yeah, you did. I mean, you know, I met you back almost 20 years ago when I first got on this agency. And, you know, then you left and you went started making wine. And now we came, brought you back into the industry again. And I really appreciate your lean management and how you handle it. Your expertise in the industry is just amazing. And I don't know how we could have, you know, got through where we were today without you. So I really appreciate all that time and, you know, your family as well. It takes a village to get you here sometimes. I know that. So
it does, yes. But yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
I'm grateful you're going to be around still.
Yeah, I'll stick around. I'm not going anywhere. I have to build a Ford Transit before I can leave.
Absolutely. Anyone else?
Yeah, I also want to thank you, Peter. I know at the time when you came on, it was really challenging times, especially with the districts. And
I was just happy that wasn't an in-person meeting.
Yes. We just really felt like our voices weren't heard, but because of you and because of your policy and, you know, being out there and, you know, you made everyone feel welcome. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I want to also say I really appreciate your service, and I'm so happy that you're not retiring completely right now. We really need your expertise and especially your knowledge of the local communities. And, you know, I really appreciate what you've done in the past and look forward to what you're going to be doing in the future and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you, Peter. And you've been here through some good times and bad times and made a lot of progress in the time that you've been here. So thank you.
Yeah, there's still a lot more to do. I wish you could have done more.
You will.
I want to say as the newbie here, I am. It's been a pleasure working with you over the past, I don't know, been like 6 months if that. Oh, you're newer. Sorry, take that back.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate it, Peter. You've been very welcoming to me. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'll add to that as a somewhat newbie, I guess, that really bringing me up to speed and understanding what was going on in the past was really quick and very helpful. Quick enough that I ended up being president.
Wasn't my fault.
Yeah, it wasn't your fault. Okay, very good. Meeting adjourned.
I think you need to give the gavel to Mr. Guthrie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you have to give the gavel to Mr. Guthrie.
Our new president.
There you go.
Thank you.